be 5 in a row, wouldn't it? Montreal Canadiens now 6-2-0 under Claude Julien. This is the Recency Bias. I'm Zach Vanoss along with you here. Recency Bias Podcast, a production of RapidHabs.com and the Montreal Bias Podcast. Good to have you listening on this Sunday or Monday or maybe even Tuesday. The Habs won't get back in action until Tuesday on the West Coast, but we'll get to the upcoming schedule a little later in this morning after mini-pod, or let's be honest, on this Sunday, it's an afternoon after mini-podcast. Canadians, 4-1 winners. In Madison Square Garden on Saturday night, this was a big one. This was a big one. This is the first really convincing win, like completely top-to-bottom convincing win under Claude Julien. I think it was their biggest win since they beat Buffalo that first game back after the All-Star game, I think. That was a convincing one that looked good. And since then, even when they were winning, you know, there was the overtimes or the right before overtime, 8.3 seconds before overtime against Nashville. Nope, no doubt. No doubt about it on Saturday night in New York City. Even though I think just because habitually we'd seen these games being close, kept kind of expecting the Rangers to waltz back into it, but it was simply not the case. The Habs, from the drop of the puck, I think were the better team, and the score settled that by the end. Four-goal night for a team that struggles, or has been struggling, to find the back of the net with much frequency, and came from those so-called secondary sources. Shea Weber with his 15th of the year, one that just kind of found its way in there. Arturi Lehkonen, number 12, or as one of the New York papers, I forget which paper it was now, one of the New York papers had him cited this morning as Arthur Lehkonen. Yeah, why not? Shaw with number 10, and Jordy Benn getting his third of the year, but his first with your Montreal Canadiens. A big game. Scoring was nice from, you know, four different guys who are not named Max Pacioretty or Alex Radulov. Of course, Radulov not even in this game, making the win all the more enjoyable. Really, Radu, one of the engines of this team all season long. Without him in the lineup before the game, you're a little concerned, I think, about the Canadiens faring against a good New York Rangers team, a team they're chasing in the standings. Currently 4 points back of the Rangers, I think, but we're what? Eight points back of the Rangers a week ago? Beat them twice in the past stretch of games. Chasing them down now, and it would be nice for the Habs to be able to climb up to fourth, but that's another thing to deal with. Right now, we're dealing with the game that was on Saturday night. Carey Price really the star in this one. Carey Price has been the star as of late, has he not? 26 of 27, a .965 save percentage. And as I saw Mitch Melnick point out, has climbed 6 points in the save percentage charts ever since Claude Julien took over. From .916 to .922. Not easy to do this time of year, should be said. But that's what happens when you're posting about a .960 every night over the past 8 games or so. Fantastic stuff, and not just solid goaltending, some huge saves from Carey. Really looking like the Carey Price that we'd, you know, really become accustomed to prior to his dip in December, January, and through February. Looking very much like Carey Price of old, and that could be nothing but good news for your Montreal Canadiens. You know who else looked good on Saturday night? Right on time for him to look good was Marc Bergevin. Coming right on the heels of a night that I think even those of us who still believe to a degree, and I'm putting myself firmly in that category in case you couldn't tell by the intonation of my voice there, for those of us who still somewhat believe in Marc Bergevin and his ability to do the right thing most of the time or build what we hope is a championship team, that took a hit on Thursday with P.K. Subban in town and seeing how much everybody loved him and remembering just how great P.K. was, and you start to go, jeez. And I even said it on the podcast the other day, you know, still feels like that trade was a mistake. Even though Shea's been good, still feel it was a mistake. We'll probably always feel it was a mistake. Outside of the Montreal Canadiens winning a Stanley Cup with Shea Weber, I'm going to go ahead and say it wasn't the right move. So he's coming off of that, where even those of us who still believe in him had a bit of a time with him this week. He looked good on Saturday. Why? Because once again, let's flash back to who scored. Once again on the score sheet, Weber, Lekkonen, Shaw, Ben. What do they all have in common? They were all brought in relatively recently by Marc Bergevin. Steve Ott also with a point there. Martinson had a good night. The new guys showing up pretty well at MSG. So he looked good. I'm not going to say it's, you know, that the jury is finally out or in. Guess the jury's in on the new guys. It's only been a couple games and lots more to come, and I'm sure we'll have our ups and downs with all these guys. But for Saturday night, the new acquisitions looked really good. They changed the, I think, the dynamic of the Habs lineup a little. That fourth line, which had been really struggling, as much as it had carried some of the load in the early part of the season through October, those grinder guys like Mitchell and Flynn, they were fantastic for us. They'd really gone completely silent, disappeared in the latter half of the season. Last night, that fourth line made some things happen. Also looking good, Brendan Gallagher. Brendan Gallagher, after finally scoring on Thursday, though he did not score on Saturday, was doing some good things, was doing some Brendan Gallagher things. I don't know if it's a matter of getting confidence back. I don't know if perhaps just the way Claude Julien is approaching things is different for Gallagher, or just it was a matter of time before this guy that, you know, historically, we all had faith, was almost the kind of guy who couldn't go through slumps because of the way he played in massive season length of a slump at this point. Starting to feel a little bit like Gallagher of old. I mean, there was the collision with Henrik Lundqvist, but that wasn't the only moment where you saw Brendan Gallagher doing some things that we used to see him do. So it'll be interesting to see if his progression continues. Of course, Alex Galchenyuk looked good again last night. He seems, I think he's got points in three of his last four. And the other big theme on Saturday night, let's run the goalies. A little contact, let's run the goalies. That's oversaying it. Let's get some contact with the goalies. It's definitely the theme between the Rangers and the Habs now. Two of the elite goalies in the NHL. I think it all started, I think we can all pinpoint the moment it started. Chris Kreider in the Eastern Conference Final. And it's continued since, and it's not the only teams it happens with. I know it happens with the Senators as well. But Montreal definitely not that interested in being gentle with Lundqvist if they don't feel the Rangers are going to be gentle with Carey Price. And once again, you had a big moment with, I almost called him Steve Nash, Rick Nash really running over Price. And of course, there were a couple moments when Lundqvist got hit by Gallagher, and there was another, I forget who it was now, kind of made some contact with Lundqvist right beside his net. And let's face it, we're likely going to face the New York Rangers in the first round. Odds are the Habs and Rangers will go in the first round of the playoffs. And so some tone is being set, some messages are being sent, and part of that is trying to assess how much they can touch these goalies, how much they want to be trying to throw the goalies off their game. And I think it's just also a bit of tit for tat. You know, you come as CP, fine, we're gonna rush Hank. Speaking of that first round, and the Eastern Conference Final from a couple years back, you gotta think, man. Lundqvist v. Price seems to be a one-sided battle right now. Carey Price absolutely owns the New York Rangers, and logically, on the other side of that equation, Henrik Lundqvist really struggles with the Montreal Canadiens. And the only time the Rangers put up some consecutive wins against the Habs in recent years was in the damn Eastern Conference Final when Kreider ran Price, and we had to have, was it Budaj come in the rest of the way? That was Budaj, right? I'm remembering this right. Kind of block that all out of my memory. So as much as the Rangers are a really good team, and I think they are a good team, I like the Habs' chances in the first round against them. I'd prefer the Habs be playing whoever it is sneaks in on that 8 seed. I really would. But that seems very unlikely that that's... Well, no, it's absolutely not going to happen. The Habs will not play the 8th place team. Because they're not going to catch the Washington Capitals in the standings, obviously. So they're going to, if they hold on to top spot in the Atlantic, they're going to play the New York Rangers, most likely. The only way for them not to play whoever that 7th place team is, which really is what, the 4th place team overall in the NHL, most likely, maybe 5th at best, is for the Habs to actually let the Senators, or let's being a bit cocky, I guess. Let's say the New York Rangers, Ottawa Senators pass the Habs, then they fall in the 2nd in the Atlantic, then they probably got an easier team in the first round. But the New York Rangers are a team that I don't mind the way the Canadians stack up against them, provided Kreider doesn't run Price. Speaking of all that goalie running, there was a moment at the end of the game where I had one of those, kind of like Michael Bluth for those Arrested Development watchers. I don't think this is my first Arrested Development reference on this podcast either. Michael Bluth, when he's in jail, speaking with his dad, and his dad says, "That's what Job's for." And he goes, "That's what Job's for." Steve Ott, the end of the game, making sure things stayed relatively calm, cool, and collected as the New York Rangers spun around Carey Price, wanted to get some words in. Steve Ott was having none of that. And I was fine with that. I guess that's what Steve Ott's for. Ott had a really good game. For a guy that I said I don't like, for a guy that I said is probably the worst player in the NHL, he played well on Saturday night against the Rangers. So, hey, maybe he can continue to do that. I won't complain. Prove me wrong is what I is my approach to Steve Ott at this point. And, of course, Jordy Benn continues to be awesome. Jordy Benn's wicked. That was a really good trade. Craig Pattern in a 4th for Jordy Benn, who's still got one more year on his deal and doesn't cost, I think he's like $1.1 million. Jordy Benn is not a 7th or 8th defenseman. I see why Dallas had him playing top 4 for them. I don't know that he's necessarily a top 4 on most teams in the NHL, but he was for a Dallas team with a really weak blue line. But he's going to contribute for the Canadiens. I really like this guy. Great on the PK. You see that even with the minutes for Shea Weber and Andre Markov again on Saturday night. I think they were in around 22, 23 instead of the 26, 27, 28 we could see them be sometimes. Makes smart decisions defensively, doesn't hurt the Habs really at any point. I love this Benn acquisition. That's been every game so far that I've seen Benn play. He's not just contributed, he's been one of the better players. Then on the other hand, you got Alexi Emelin, who for some reason hasn't been benched yet. That's too bad. At some point, Alexi Emelin's going to have to watch a game as a healthy scratch, right? Or am I missing something? If I'm wrong about Alexi Emelin and he is doing something, he contributes something that I don't see, I would love someone to explain it to me. And Claude Julien, he's been great for the press so far, by the way. He really explains his methodology. He explains his thinking. It's been so fun reading his quotes about, you know, why Alex Galchenyuk is still on the second line. And you hear that answer, and as it's all explained out, and just to kind of paraphrase quickly, he's like, well, you know, the kid's been playing good. I don't want to suddenly put him back on that first line where maybe he, you know, finds the defensive assignment too much once more. Let's let him work on the things he's good at. Plus, now you got the tools that if the opposition sees Galchenyuk, Radulov, and Pacioretty all together on the first line, they go, okay, we shut that line down. We pretty much shut the Canadians down. Well, now there's a bit of diversity in who the opposition has to pay attention to all night. And that was his explanation, and it's a good one. Now, maybe at times that was Michel Therrien's thinking as well. Michel Therrien always had, I don't know if it's ego or just an unwillingness to communicate, but he didn't feel the need to say that. And then that leaves everybody thinking you're stupid if you're not explaining your methodology. So I'm a big fan of Claude Julien. Just talking it through. Let's see your thinking. He's also not worried that the opposition is, oh, if I explain it, they'll have my plan figured out. Let's not pretend the guys on the other side are that stupid either. They know what you're doing. They see it. So Claude Julien, a fresh breath air in that sense as well. So now the Canadians take their 5-game winning streak out west. Or as Habs fans know it, where wins go to die. Tuesday night at Vancouver. Oh, bad news, folks. Bad news for the week ahead. Gonna have to stay up late. If you hadn't been looking at the schedule ahead, the coming week, it's a West Coast week. 10 o'clock, the puck drops on Tuesday. Wah, wah. Then Thursday into Calgary for a 9 o'clock game. And then Edmonton, I think that's a 7 o'clock game on Sunday. Next Sunday. No Saturday night game coming up this week as well. So late night games and no Saturday game. It's going to be a wonky, weird week in Habs land as they carry a 5-game win streak at West. Good job, CJ. Canadians, and here's the evidence that it's difficult to make moves in the standings as you get late in the season. I think the Canadians are down about 16 games or so. Still first in the Atlantic, obviously, but still fifth in the East and eighth overall in the NHL. 5-game winning streak, 6-2 over their last 8, and haven't moved in the standings at all in that stretch. So that's how difficult it is to move in the NHL this time of year. Just that we don't always take a look at this, but thought worthwhile today just to see who the Habs are chasing overall in the East. Washington in the top spot, then it's Columbus, Pittsburgh, and the New York Rangers. That's 1-4 right now. That's who the Canadians are behind. And I think they're a better team than Columbus, absolutely. I think Columbus is an okay team. I do think if they're not better than the New York Rangers, they're as good as the New York Rangers. And as I've talked about much through this mini-podcast, I think they can beat the New York Rangers in the first round. Washington and Pitt, that's a different thing. Those are two real elite teams, obviously. But everyone's feeling good. It's a 5-game winning streak. Now, it's a late one on Tuesday. Until then, enjoy the start of your week and take care.